This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to John, glory to you, Lord Christ. John chapter 2 and verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, or my strength and my redeemer. Well, I wasn't going to preach from that, but of course Bracken served it up so irresistible that we will. In verse 11 of that scripture, it says, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Didn't his disciples already believe in him? I mean, they left everything to follow him, but they just believed more. You do know that we grow. Don't get frustrated with yourself. We do grow in the Lord, and so he's not frustrated with us. We believe in him, and then we believe in him more, and then we believe in him more. We go through things, and he proves himself faithful. We believe more. He does miraculous. We believe more. So when he says this is the beginning of the signs, this is one of the most important scriptures to study, to like meditate on a lot, because the word beginning there is the Greek word arch. It's the arch miracle, the arch sign. So something that arches over, everything comes up under that. And it's meant to help us understand all the other miracles and what they're trying to say and what they're trying to accomplish. So to understand what this miracle really says to us will open up a lot of other scripture to you, because it's an arch miracle. Everything has to kind of fit in some of the things here. One of the things is what I just said, is that signs and wonders is not just a matter of, well, we steward signs and wonders by faith. Signs and wonders helps us steward faith. Anytime Jesus acts on our behalf, whatever that looks like, whatever, if it's coming through financially or healing someone, we who believe more. And so if you get, again, frustrated with yourself because you don't think you believe as much as you should, don't, just keep your eyes on him. That's the story here. What happened? They watched Jesus do something, and the result was they believed more. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And as you watch Jesus be faithful in your life, you'll discover that your faith has grown. The other thing I like about this on two levels is, one is that he saved the best for last. There's several truths about this, and you ought to study it again on your own. You'll discover some of your own. And one is that never think it's too late for Jesus to keep the promise. or to come through. He likes to do things at the last minute. He's different. And he does that again to help us grow in faith that says, don't ever give up. Because Jesus saves the best for last. Just when you think it's too late, just when you think it's been too long, Jesus does what he does. The other thing about that truth is, I believe it's also chronological. Our culture, in the Western culture particularly, in Europe and here, teaches us all the commercials are in front of us, all the things, all the billboards, is about life in its fullness is for young people. The whole clothing industry is towards young people. Everything's about young people. It's when they're enjoying their life and having their fun. Things are so good. But when you get older, life isn't as good. It's difficult, and it's easier to things to happen to you, and you don't walk as fast. You don't see as good. You don't hear as well. But Scripture says that even though this outer man is decaying, my inner man is being renewed day by day. So one of the things that happens as you get older is an important lesson, that all the things that you trusted in the natural, in the physical, that, quote, represented the good life, you're in the process of shedding. And in the real life, what's really important is that which is internal, because that's what's eternal. And you often will discover that things will happen, somebody will do something to you, or some situation will go on, you go, you know, after all, in light of eternity, that's not much of a big deal. And what comes forth from within, which isn't subject to having a bad hair day, which I wake up to every day of my life, matters. Jesus saves the best for last. Getting older in Christ is better. You know, once you reached about 60, you began to get set free from the spirit of stupid. And all those things that you thought were so important become so irrelevant because the eternal and the internal become more. So I tell people, we who are elderly, I'll be 70 next year, we should be on our tiptoes. The bucket list is Jesus. And we get to experience more of him at an accelerated pace as we get older than 20-year-olds do. That's why I get a little bit suspicious when I have 25-year-old or 35-year-olds in skinny jeans that are leading the way. Like, the new revelation for the kingdom of God, because I know that they still have the spirit of stupid on them at some level, and so I want to be careful what they're saying. I had it on me, big time. The other thing that's here, and there's bunches, we should do just a whole series on this sometime, is that the servants offered him brim-fill canister. These big old casks. They were brim-filled. They filled them to the brim. And, you know, if you've ever filled a glass of water to the brim, it kind of has a dome to it. If you add one more drop, then it'll all start spilling out. They were told to fill it with water. They anticipated something, that Jesus was going to do something. What was the point of filling those things with water? So they filled them to the brim. So we want to offer God brim-filled obedience. Not out of my duty, but out of, oh my goodness, God must going to be do something cool here as I make myself fully available in brim-filled obedience. See, obedience is about being excited that, oh my gosh, Lord, I want to be more surrendered than that because you must going to be do something. Because everything I give to him, he transforms into something miraculous. And so I think the lesson of brim-filled obedience here is powerful. If you offer him a half a bucket full, he'll get a half a bucket of God's activity. But I want to live with whatever he does to be like a dome in my life that couldn't contain any more. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.